This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end, no safety or surprise, the end, I'll never look into your
I wonder sometimes what the end would be like. I wonder what it would look like.
Saigon.
I mean, it's been a long time since I got punched in the face. A really long time. But last night at work, I got clocked a good one. So hard, in fact, that I lost my balance.
I think I'm gonna wake up back in the jungle.
And I wound up staring at the sky.
I'm still only in Saigon.
When was the last time you got punched in the face? I mean, when was the last time that somebody really just full of hatred belted you one? Family members count. When was the last time you had that real stinging copper taste? That warm, wet feeling of blood in your mouth. When was the last time you felt that? I'd forgotten the last time I felt it. The incident started easy enough. I mean, it was straightforward, typical stuff. The bar let out. It's spring break. A bunch of kids who were underage snuck their way into the bar. They came out loud and proud. Decided to take on the security guard. I'd like to say I fought the good fight. I'd like to say that I, you know, tried to do the responsible thing and all the rest of it. But I wound up, it happened so fast, you know, and it always happens so quick. And it's never when you expect it. You never get into a fight when you want to get into a fight. You never get into a fight when you think it would be the easiest thing to do, you know. It doesn't happen. If I sound a little different on this recording, it's because my lips all swollen up. There's a lot of sane people arguing, even as I make this recording now. 3/17/04 at 11:1500 hours. It's Wednesday. There's a lot of sane people who think that these audio recordings are still some kind of work of fiction. And they argue about reality amongst themselves. Well, let me assure you that is not the case. Right now, between the ice pack and the cold beer, I'm trying to keep my lip from separating from my face and quite probably running out the door. The kids were in my face, just like that. Somebody said something, I got shoved from the side, I turned to look, whack. It's amazing. Never ceases to amaze me how proficient teenagers could be at causing pain. We don't like to see that. We don't like to recognize the true annals of our nature, which are displayed by the teenage culture. We don't like to embrace that. We like to think that they're just kids, you know. They don't really show what the world's all about. But really, no. At the lowest level, when you take away all the rules and all people's power, they degrade to what they truly are. They do it in prisons. They do it in high schools. They do it all over the world.
My sins, they gave me one. Brought it up to me like room service.
Captain Willard, are you in there?
Thank God for the internet. That's all I gotta say, man. Thank God for the internet. If it wasn't for the internet, where would we be? Who would we be talking to right now if we weren't hooked into the internet? Those of you out there who listen to me, those of you out there who understand what it is to stare at the floor while you wait for the next hit, you'll know what I mean when I talk about the pain of loneliness. Everybody's words mean so little when you're the one who's bleeding. That's why I have to learn to seek strength within yourself. It's difficult to try to get back into society once you're out. Right now, I'm 30-something. So for those of you who are half my age, maybe less than, well, hell, even if you're less than 19 years old, you want to think real hard about jumping off the ship. It's not like it was back in the 80s where, you know, you could jump off and you could jump back on again, you know, you could join the counterculture and grow up and be something else. You know, the hippies turned dot-com executives, turned homeless, that whole crowd. You want to think about whether or not you want to get involved with the counterculture. Because, well, very soon it's going to be us and them. Very soon it's going to be all the same people who take their medication 3 times a day, listen to their fear dosage, get their infotainment advertising updates, and all the while pumping drugs through their system to make sure they feel okay. Very quickly, you're either going to be one of the same, or you're going to get labeled some horrible name. Maybe they'll call you a geek, nerd, loser, weirdo, survivalist, gun nut, terrorist, hacker, counterculture icon, punk, freak, weirdo. These are my people. This is the tribe I was born to. I didn't pick this. Society picked it for me. So, what are you supposed to do? Do you give up? Do you throw your hands in the air when you lose your job? Do you curl up and die in a little ball? Do you close your eyes so tight that you wait for it to stop breathing? Do you close your eyes at night and try to will your heart to stop beating? Do you do that? No, you can't do that. You gotta keep going. Being a security guard, you get spit on all the time. Not literally, of course, but you're an object of ridicule. Imagine taking all the ridicule a cop takes behind his back, only you have to take it to your face. That's what security guards deal with. Not that I'm crying the blues. I'm sure I could find all sorts of employable opportunities in some other field. The minute I think of one, I'll let you know. All I know about is survival, on one form or another. And I guess throughout all of this, somehow I started making recordings and people started to learn. Like it or not, when you listen to this, you're taking a piece of my mind into yours. Every time that you listen to anything, any kind of media, music, radio, television, you're taking that inside of your own mind. And on some level, what you see, hear, experience is going to affect the way you think and how you see the world. This is the reason why I feel that what I do is successful. Because I never lie to people. Not purposefully. I'm sure I've said things that aren't true before. But it's an honest mistake. I just didn't know.
Luke, would you play that tape with the captain, please?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Listen to this carefully, Captain.
October 9, 0430 hours, Sector Peter Victor King.
This is monitored out of Cambodia. This has been verified as Colonel Kurtz's voice.
I watched a snail crawl along the edge of a straight razor. That's my dream. It's my nightmare. Crawling, slipping along the edge of a straight razor and surviving.
Transmission 11, received 68, December 30, 0500 hours. Sector King, Zulu King.
But we must kill them. We must incinerate them. Pig after pig. Cow after cow. Village after village. Army after army. And they call me an assassin. What do you call it when the assassins accuse the assassin? They lie. They lie, and we have to be merciful for those who lie. Those nabobs. I hate them. I do hate them.
There's so many of us, you know. There's so many freaks and outsiders now. There's so many of us that realize the lie, that even the mainstream is trying to market the realization of the lie, if you can believe that. Cyberpunk isn't a leather jacket. Cyberpunk is a state of survival. In a time when men no longer use swords. And electronics is sorcery. So what do? Do we sit back and we wait for the sky to fall? Do we sit back and wait for the storm of the century to sweep over the planet? For the earth to awaken and scratch itself? And rid itself of the plague of humanity? Is that what we're waiting for? We'll just sit idly by like good little droids? Or will we be wogs? Will we be the proud outcasts, those ready to survive? Those who will take the better components of our civilization, music, art, literature, and preserve them. Preserve them for future generations. We can do this. As all independent beings, we can form a nation, an alliance, maybe even an army.
Well, you see, Willard, in this war, things get confused out there.
power, ideals, the old morality, and practical military necessity. But out there with these natives, it must be a temptation to be God. Because there's a conflict in every human heart between the rational and the irrational, between good and evil. And good does not always triumph. Sometimes the dark side overcomes what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature. Every man has got a breaking point.
It's Thursday now. I didn't go to work last night. It's been a crazy couple days, let me tell you. For all of you who are keeping track of my life here, mapping it out day by day. Tuesday night, I got smacked in the mouth, right? Wednesday, I was pretty bummed out. Wednesday night, I didn't go to work because my jaw still hurt from where I was cut open. Anyway, it turns out my jaw's infected. And it hurts like a bastard all the time. So if I sound a little different when I'm talking to you, it's because the muscles in my jaw are... They hurt a lot if I move my mouth too much, so... You might think I'm trying to imitate certain accents or drawls, but that's not the case. It's just because my damn jaw is all fucked up. Anyway, with it being infected and stuff, they wanted me to go on to these anti-inflammatories and all this kind of jazz, and he really wanted to load me up on these antibiotics, and I wasn't really into that because I wanted to do a more holistic approach. I don't believe in a lot of these antibiotics they feed you. I mean, it's just a little bit of pain, right? I mean, you can live with pain. So I went to go see this Chinese herbalist that a friend of mine recommended me to. I'm not going to give that name out because I don't want this guy getting dragged into it. But anyway, he gave me a prescription that I had to go get filled from this little Chinese herb shop down in Richmond. And I got this powder that what I got to do is, like they're little caplet pills, and I take them like four times a day. And I do not know what the stuff is called to save my life. The herbalist wrote some stuff in Chinese on a slip, right? So it was like doctor's signature prescription in Chinese. And I took it to the shop, which I just gave me an address for because everything was in Chinese in that part of town. And the guy just, you know, gave me the pills and, you know, told me you take one at dawn, one at noon, one at 4:30, and like 4:30, like p.m., and then one if you feel weird after sunset is what I got out of it. Anyway, that was the instructions I took, so I started doing it, and today's my first day, and I got to tell you, I'm feeling pretty good today. You know, I don't really know what's going on, but... Geez, I feel great. So, I just thought I'd check in, give you some positive news, and other than my jaw, still, I don't want to aggravate it too much, but the pain's pretty much gone. It just sort of feels numb now. Anyhow, I'll keep you posted as to what's happening.
Charging a man with murder in this place was like handing out speeding tickets at the Indy 500.
One of the purchases I made online last week has showed up today. I bought this on-hand PC made by some crazy company called Matsucom. And they had a special on. If they came in tactical black, I guess they were cheaper. So I got this on-hand PC in tactical black. After all was said and done, I wound up paying $200 for it. I mean, I like gadgets. Gadgets are pretty cool, but a watch, I mean, you can judge a man by his watch. I mean, really... Time is all you have. If you don't control your own time, then you're not free. That's what freedom really is. People talk about freedom. Freedom's not free. Well, what is freedom? Well, freedom is being able to do what you want with your own time. Hence, free time. How many of us have free time? How many of us actually have freedom? As I'm looking through all the features on this on-hand programmable PC, I see that this temporal lock, this little device that is used to measure the passing of now, that's a really valuable tool. I got one of these on-wrist or on-hand PCs or whatever because I always find that your PDAs are too hard to get to. If you put them in your pocket, you can't alarm them, tell you what to do at certain times, but a watch, you can do that. I was looking for a PDA watch, and there's a company, you know, Dead Dinosaur or something like that, that makes watches that are supposedly wrist-top, you know, personal data assistants. Well, after going through this thing that I got for $200 Canadian, I'm here to tell you I've never seen a gadget like this in my life. It's pretty sweet. If anyone wants to get himself a piece of gizmo gear, this would be the piece I'd get you. Now, I'm still waiting for my other part of this to show up, which is my watch strap. You know, you got too much free time when you're breaking down your watch and watch strap as both aftermarket components. It's a company down in the States, make an item called the Defense Band. You do a search on Google, you'll find it, Defense Band. And they've built a Garrett into their watch strap in order to subdue as a weapon of emergency only. And they sell them to the public, so I bought one. A lot of people would ask, well, Sean, you know, you're against violence and all that. Oh, you're right, I am against violence, absolutely. But this brings us to the category of weapon of emergency. See, some people say that you can't be against violence and be prepared at the same time. No, I believe you can. I hate violence. I abhor violence. It scares the hell out of me. I'm afraid a lot of violence. Well, I shouldn't say afraid, but I'll say I'm aware of how much damage violence can do and how quickly it can erupt, so you want to be cautionary towards it. This is what the founding fathers of the United States wanted when they said that people should have the right to keep and bear arms. Arms are not just weapons. I mean, arms are weapons, rather. Arms are not just guns. You got to think of it that way. Before the advent of the firearm, the sword ruled the earth for 1,000 years. I think that they can regulate firearms because it's very hard to make a gun, comparatively, as hard it is to make, say, a pair of nunchucks or tonfa or perhaps a quarterstaff. Guns are hard to maintain. You got to make sure they don't rust. Got to make sure you keep them fed with ammo. Otherwise, all you got is fancy clubs. And I think that once everything actually hits, the supplies will get cut off to the armies of the world. And very quickly, these men who claim to be soldiers, who haven't been trained in the ancient arts, will find themselves at a loss for what to do. They don't train from the ground up anymore, and they should. I'm not really highly trained, but I've dedicated most of my life to getting ready for what I feel could be an inevitable. So I'll try to tell you guys what I can, give you hints on the gear I use. Maybe they'll help you out.
At first, I thought they handed me the wrong dossier. I couldn't believe they wanted this man dead. Third generation West Point, top of his class. Korea, airborne, about 1,000 decorations, etc., etc. I'd heard his voice on the tape, and it really put the hook in me. But I couldn't connect up that voice with this man.
Friday, 3:19, is now 0:58 hours. I'm at grid. November 4, 9 degrees, 14.164, by whiskey, 122 degrees, 51.209, on the Garmin GPS unit. Been doing a lot of thinking about what's going on. And noticed some disturbing trends the last little while. It's funny when you stop listening to the news and you stop paying attention to all the programming, how things begin to slowly slide back into place. Not at once. It doesn't like all come crashing in on you. Like you'd think that once you stop listening to the media lie, you start feeling lonely, you get the dregs, you know, kicks out, you want to watch your old shows, you want to listen to these you know, this bullshit music they feed you. But if you get past that and you start listening to the music you choose to listen to, you know, maybe for the first little while you might continue listening to, you know, whatever the top 40 is. But very quickly you'll find that you'll lean towards maybe more aggressive music or softer music. And then you start experimenting with aggressive or softer music. If you like softer music, you might get into like Steve Roach, or maybe you could get into old Kris Kristofferson stuff, or maybe you might be a little bit more electronic ambient, or you could be even contemporary, get into classical. If you're more aggressive, you might get into Gabber, or you could get into Hellsow, or you might get into some of these thrash bands, or you could go metal, you might get into Iron Maiden and stuff. The bottom line is that there's so much music out there that essentially, there's so much media available through the internet for free that we don't longer need the constant feed that the media machine turns out. And this is where the strength of the logs come from. Had an interesting thought the other day. See, the neat thing is that people will no doubt ask you and ask anyone who claims to be a wog. You know, how do you be a wog? How do you become a wog? Well, you're a wog when you say you're a wog. There is no wog membership card. There was a group of, well, they're now terrorists. They never used to be terrorists. They just used to be activists. But now they're labeled terrorists, called the Animal Liberation Front. And what these guys would do, right or wrong, whether or not you agree with them, is that they would break into labs and free animals. Now, whether or not you agree with breaking into labs and freeing animals, you can definitely see why they did that. You can definitely see the desire to end the suffering of these animals, which is, you know, although it is for science and whatever you may believe on that front, but, I mean, these animals suffer. There's no two ways about that. Now, there was no official Animal Liberation Front. You know, there was no secret headquarters. There was no Animal Liberation Front commander who issued orders that descended down throughout the world. That's kind of what I wanted to do with Cult, is I wanted to make this massive alliance of the counterculture so that when finally we were all brought together under one banner, we could, you know, change the face of the world. This was my grand vision. Which, you know, hey, aim high. So that didn't work, though, because people cannot be controlled. And I didn't know that. I thought that they could, but luckily I figured it out before I turned 30 that people can't be controlled. No matter what they try, people cannot be controlled. So there is no system of government that would govern a large nation that will actually work, unless you're in a time of war, because you must always have a common enemy, right? So what we need to have is we need to have essentially a localized government, like a state or whatever, so that if you don't like the laws in one state, you can leave and go to another state, and that state would then grow proportionately, what have you. I mean, it's very, very simple when you think about it. So the problem is now is that the reason why people used to get together in groups was for what reason? Well, for fellowship, for community, so you can be amongst people that you want to be amongst, right? Well, lo and behold, we have the internet. And the internet makes it possible for us to communicate except for touch in every way. We can see each other. We can talk to each other. I think with the right apparatus, you can even have sex with each other without actually touching, but that's a whole other bivouac, and I think it's kind of sick and weird. But anyway, I would think that the wogs are by essence, although we are all outcasts, and although we are all misfits and freaks in our own way, and I'm not special, I mean, I'm the biggest freak, well, I suppose that one might be what makes me special, is that I'm the biggest freak who ever was, you know, and in my own opinion, I don't know anyone who's weirder than me. I mean, what kind of a psychopath carries around a tape recorder when he's a security guard in the middle of the night in a Colossus, you know, parking lot, and talks to himself? I mean, that's insane. What's more insane than that is that all these people listen and they pay attention to this crazy loser. You know, I mean, when you think about it, holy shit. So when I look at that and I go, why does that happen? Why do people listen to me? Why do they do this? And I think the reason why is because I never quit. No matter how bad it got, if I couldn't handle the pain, I would fall down and I would crash and I would burn. But I just keep getting up. And that's the same thing that you do. If you're listening to this right now, especially if you're an old school fan who's just kept up. And this doesn't mean that you go in the IRC. This doesn't mean that you communicate, you know, with me, or maybe I don't even know your name, but you've listened to a lot of the stuff I've done. You know, even right now you're thinking, he's not really talking about me. No, I am talking about you. You. It doesn't matter what your age is. You know who you are. And that's what your strength is that you don't quit. You know, they scorned you. They kicked you out. They didn't want you as part of their group. So you expressed yourself as an individual. And everyone still laughed at you. And you lost most of everything that you ever valued. But still you carry on. Still you fight the fight. Maybe you're like Smokehouse, who's in a wheelchair, in a nasty financial situation with his relatives dropping dead all over the place. Yet he still carries on. He still fights. I don't have 1/10 of the strength Smokehouse does. I don't know how he does it. I really don't. He believes in this crazy guy who lives thousands of miles away. Samarian, who I have no financial ties to whatsoever, continues to pump out tireless work into making a counterculture movement, you know, medium that the world has never before seen and is getting stronger every day. And somehow I'm caught up with this. It's amazing when you sit back from the whole thing and go, Jesus Christ, do you realize that there are people who don't even know what computers are? Do you realize that there's people that, when you got your Palm Pilot or your PDA out, and people go, what is that? Is that a calculator? It's amazing when you think of the kind of connection that we all possess. It's like we're that little section of the gutter where the world swept us, and while we were in this gutter, we decided to make a fort. And that was Fortress Wog. That's where all this happened. It's just we all started talking to each other, and now we're not hackers, yet some of us have hacker skills. We're not soldiers, yet a lot of us have a lot of soldier skills. We're not jocks, because some of us like sports, but we don't like a specific sport. We have knowledge and a great, vast many interests. We're consumed by music, poetry, art. We study violence. We study war. We study tactics. We study things that normal people brush aside because it's too hard for their brains to chew on it. That's where we live. We're like intellectual scavengers who've grown very wily in our time on the fringe. So, what are we? Well, I guess we were always here. I guess I'll just give it a name, and that's what the Wogs are. You're a Wog. That's where you fit in. You fit in nowhere. You fit in like a distance reconnaissance platoon somewhere in deep behind enemy lines where there's you and maybe a couple of your friends, and you listen to the show, and you listen to me, and you understand what it is that I'm talking about. There's a lot of people right now going, whoa, Sean, where are you going with this, man? I mean, I don't even know what you're doing with this, with these radio broadcasts. I don't know, is this a journal or did you really find a gun? Yeah, I found a gun. I'm not lying. You know? It's an amazing series of events. But the more unbelievable things are, the more crazy the real things that happen to you, at what point do you stop believing me? If I told you 10 years ago that I was going to be some multimedia figure known all over the world, would you believe me? No. You said, whatever, Sean, you're a crackhead. If I told you that I had visions of the future, would you believe me? No. But if I told you I met a celebrity, you'd believe that. You see what I mean? We're conditioned to believe certain things. I could tell you any number of things that, you know, how do we determine what is believable, what is not believable? You know? Our perceptions of reality are what really govern our actions. See, I've talked about this before, and I talk about it a lot in my writing, but I firmly believe in the concept of reality hopping. I also used to call this fish bowling, if you ever heard that expression before. And I know you've done this, but you just don't know actually what it is. When you fish bowl is when you sit in a mall, maybe, or in a crowded place somewhere, and you isolate yourself from people. You're now alone. And then after they forget about you sitting on that bench or wherever you're currently, you know, residing, you can enter into other people's lives by staring at them. You'll see, like, you know, the yuppie family walking down, and you can, like, enter their lives, and you can see their concerns. You can see that he's really worried about, you know, his next car payment, but she's really wants to keep up appearances with the neighbors. The kids are really happy because they just got a new pair of $150 jeans. The boy wants to get himself a starter jacket, but the girl, you know, is secretly hiding the fact that she's afraid she's going to look fat, you know, and all the other 9-year-olds will make fun of her. And that's, you know, one reality. And then you've got, you know, the family who's trying to survive and still have some kind of fun and dignity, so they, you know, maybe not everyone's as clean as they should be, and the mother's got 5 kids. And you keep on looking, and then you see someone else that looks just like you. You know what's funny? I can get absolutely crazy militant. I can wear, like, the most strikingly bold camouflage clothing. And I walk into a mall, and, you know, everyone automatically would nail me as an outcast. You know, oh my gosh, this guy's crazy. Look at him. He's all dressed like a commando guy. But if I walk up to a guy who's a punk, you know, let's say he's got the severe spiked hair and everything, a lot of times with the young ones, they don't... They're afraid of you. It's like all the countercultures are afraid of each other. You know, the punks are afraid of the guys with the, like, skinheads. Not Aryan Nations, but, you know, there are people who just shave their heads. But you see what I mean? Like, militants and the goth crowd and the punk crowd and the, you know, that whole, even, you know, what or not, what is goth, you know, the Marilyn Mansonites and all that, the children of the dark side, you know. If we all just stop being afraid of each other and realize that we're all got the common enemy, we don't need an alliance. We don't need a huge governing body. You know, if you decide to take up the cause, if you decide to strike out and live your life how you choose to live your life, if you take up that cause, then by default, whether you like it or not, you're following the principles of what WOGs are. So, What am I trying to say to you? I think that there's alliances to be made. And this has led me to some really interesting ideas, actually, regarding alliances. You see, I think that the very old are interesting. You ever talk to old people? They don't lie. Weird. Anyone over the age of 60 rarely lies. Why? Why would they? They're over 60. They're gonna die soon. Okay, so... quite often at that point, they want to talk, but nobody wants to hear them. Yet they're the ones telling the truth. Isn't that ironic? That's really the great payment, you know? Don't tell me not to go to hell. Like, don't tell me that, hey, Sean, you shouldn't be a prick. Why? You'll go to hell. Big deal. But if you were to say, hey, Sean, don't be a prick, or you will die old and alone, and no one will care. Now, that's some scary shit right there. Old people, and, you know, we're not new here. I'm an old man listening to this, and I'm 32, and there's probably a few people who listen to this who are older than me. Pardon me, I'm 30. I'm not 32. Honest. But I got an email the other day from a fellow who was 32, and he said, yeah, you know, I get a lot of the references you make, and, you know... we should start up yo-yo dying propulsion systems, and, you know, stuff like that. And I feel, you know, great that there's people who kind of chewed on the same sort of, you know, media that I did growing up, who get a lot of the images. But there's all these young people who are the next generation, and it's made me realize that there are older generations of outcasts. We're not the firsts, guys. There's guys who come before us. And these are the guys who chased after the JFK assassinations. These are the guys who, you know, who made the films like Trinity, the atomic bomb movie. You know, who exposed the lies. These are the people who've been researching outlandish claims and have been searching the truth for so long, you know, generation after generation. Being a WOG, we're not starting anything. We're kind of putting our own postmodern, cyberpunk, apocalyptic, militant spin on the culture that's always been. Ever since Charles Fort started tracking all the stuff that he said, hey, wait a minute, the media is not telling the truth. They started talking about the paranormal, and not just the paranormal, but news no one was reporting. You know? Osama bin Laden, as of right now, is in custody. No one believes that, but he is. and George Bush is going to pull him out of his hat just before the elections. Oh, sure, he'll get captured in some glorious way, and there'd be no way he could fake it. But you do a time date stamp on this, and let me tell you something. George Bush is going to, through a series of intense, you know, ooh, lots of drama, but like it or not, Osama bin Laden is going to wind up being captured just before he goes to the polls. That's just the way it is. Why? Because it makes sense. He's got the guy in custody right now. He came down the pipe like 2 months ago. People are going to go, how'd you know that, John? Did you use your military contacts? No, man. I didn't use my military contacts. I've been doing that. I knew that the same way that I know everything else that I put in the after now. I remember it. I remember it by looking at history, seeing the subtle trends in history, and then seeing those same subtle trends again. There's nothing magical about it. You just gotta open your senses to what the world's telling you through the internet. Look at all the news sources. Look at the alternative media. See what people are saying. Listen to the rumors that people say they heard from special operatives. Listen to these things. Yes, a lot of them are garbage. But eventually you'll wind up with similar rumors coming from sources that couldn't possibly know each other. And those are the ones you verify. Those are the ones you chase. So people will go, well, Sean, I don't know if I believe you. I mean, that's a pretty bold statement, making a statement like that. Yeah? Hey, I could be wrong. If I'm right, that doesn't mean I'm infallible. It just means that I was right. And if I'm wrong, that doesn't mean I'm stupid. It just means I was wrong. See, people want to find God in people, prophets and stuff. They want that. They want someone who's infallible to tell them what to do. And I'm saying you don't need that. Just like you don't need Sean Kennedy. You don't need any of it. You just need you. And for the love of God, if you just learn to be still, you could determine what it is that you really want. And it'll hurt. It'll hurt like a bastard. Because they got you addicted to drugs you don't even know you're taking. You're putting it in your mouth with toothpaste. You're taking it into your skin with all these weird lotions. They're prescribing medication en masse to our children, and nobody seems to care. Where were all these fantastic medical diseases that kids have? No one has a health issue anymore. No one's just crazy anymore. There are no crazy people anymore. Everything's a condition. Everything's treatable with the right medication. May cause anal seepage. Do you see what I mean? We're slowly turning into this doped feedlot culture where nobody really has the power to move anymore. Nobody packs light. We're enslaved by all our possessions, chasing things we don't need to impress people we don't like, working jobs we hate. Stop and think about that. Stop and think about whether or not your parents did that and their parents. Eventually, when you talk to the old people, they'll come around, they'll say, no, travel, live your life, live free, follow your dreams. That's what they say. Do you think they're lying to you? Do you think they're just old and senile and they don't get it? Well, I'm here to tell you, they get it. They know exactly what they're saying. But the problem is, we're not hearing them. I think I should try to make some kind of alliance. I don't know how I'll get through to the counterculture beyond us. But I think there's a lot of blogs who listen. I think there's a lot more of you than even I know, and that's okay. I don't want numbers. I don't want to create some list where you can all be tracked down. I don't want to know how many people are listening to these tapes. I never need to know. That's why I don't pay attention to email. I don't get involved in things, because I've got other things to focus on. I've got to bring the truth as much as I can. I've got to find things for you. The way we do that is by exploring media. Do you see? But this isn't a normal... I didn't make that up. We've been doing this for years. How much media have you heard that was made in the 1970s? How about the 60s? How about the 50s? How about stuff from the golden age of radio when there was no television? Let me tell you. There are recordings available that you can get for free just about anywhere that will blow your mind. It will make my feeble scratchings on tape look like, pretty pale by comparison. I'm not an egomaniac. Well, I suppose not so much as anyone else in entertainment's not an egomaniac. I mean, you got to be a certain amount of egomaniac to just even talk in front of people. An unknown amount. But I never think about that. I just talk to you. And I don't make any money. Well, I haven't. I'd like to one day. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I've got faith that eventually something will happen. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But if we can master this, I mean, being ourselves, eventually there'll be those of us who choose to seek. There'll be those of us who will be, scavengers, I suppose, a lot more aggressive. The Rog Armada, the whole, you know, those of us who are willing to fight. And not with violence, but with other ways, with our minds, with the tools we have available to us. There is a war that is happening right now. And that's the war for your mind. Religions want it. Cults want it. Everybody wants it. Even I want it. But the question is, what do they want to do with it? I want to give it back to you. Snatch your brain back, zombie. Snatch it back and hold it. Wednesday, March 24th, 2004. The time is now 16:4300 hours. I'm at my home grid. I have been going through these MKUltra books, and I think I've figured out what they were talking about back in the 60s and in the 50s. I guess at that time, the world was really fighting communism, okay? And communism is a political idea, so you got to understand that at that time, like, communism was hated like a plague, like it was a scourge of the universe, okay? So what the Americans did was they used this MKUltra program for the concept of making soldiers. And what MKUltra is, for those of you who don't know, is a psychological operations conducted by the United States of America to see about using hypnotism and drugs to influence the minds of people, civilians, soldiers, what have you, and see what kind of results the government could get in order to use people like some kind of a machine, you know, to turn them into operatives for them. It was through the MKUltra project that the development of a lot of mind-altering drugs, which we use today in our antidepressants and stuff like that. This is where all of the antidepressant industry originates from, is actually from the MKUltra experiments. Because up until that time, there was no real interest in the development of mental psychoactives in order to control people's personalities, lives, things of that nature. So prior to, you know, around the late 60s, which was a time of freedom for our entire culture, at that point, prior to then, there was no real influence by people using mind control drugs of any kind. So you'll notice that culture, also as well in history, if you look at history throughout time, everything seems to kind of go really, really snaky once the government started using this mind control technology at that time. Like, if you look at the time MKUltra, that was really the turning point. Till now we have, you know, the media controlled world, which of course the media has taken non-medicinal knowledge of how mind control works through things like hypnosis, through subliminal suggestion, through linguistic programming, through ideals like this that are proven ideals. They exist, they work, but these highly paid advertising executives, they have been using this, and this is where we get all of our programming from. So you must understand that the mind control, the connection I'm making here is that the MKUltra projects are the birth of what we have now as modern media, which is what's controlling society. If you didn't have the modern media telling you every day what was going on, or if someone took over the media, you could tell people whatever you want was going on. You could tell people there was a war in China when there was no war in China. You could tell people that, you know, the aliens were landing in a farm in Massachusetts, and people will believe that, and they have done so in the past because of the lack of information, you see. And this is why one of the arguments for the proponent keeping the internet free is because that way, you know, there's always communication. We really know what's actually happened by actually talking to people. Yet now, in our time, now that, you know, everything's coming to a head, there's the ability for us to communicate openly and freely over the internet as WOGs, telling each other the truth, forming small groups and alliances and things of this nature. There are already groups of WOG's small sub-factions showing up on the web. I was really pleased to see that. They're just like kids with laptops and stuff like that who are running them out of their schools and Wi-Fi centers and stuff. It's great. And they're already picking up on it. I'm overjoyed with that. And a lot of people, you know, I've gotten emails asking, well, what's the guidance series? What do we use to guide, you know, the WOGs? No, there is no guide. Okay, it's just the whole movement itself. Everything I do, I suppose, could be called a guide. I don't really know what to say, but it's how do you define this to people? I guess it's the ability of a free choice and thought and expression for yourself. That's definitively what, you know, WOG is, in keeping with the traditions of seeking the truth and being kind and all that kind of jazz. So there is no WOG mandate. There's no WOG manifesto as such. I mean, there's the spiritual side of it, which comes from the Magi, but I mean. Anyhow, way off topic, but the whole MK Ultra thing is where modern media comes from, and that's sort of what these documents that I got here are talking about. And the actual project was to develop a kind of like a some kind of a program of some type. It's like a training manual of some kind. I don't know what it's for. But it's like a program you'd watch on a television, or you could put on a head-mounted display, I guess. And this program, I guess there's some, conditions in the experiment that you have to follow, but essentially you take a human subject, you put him in an area with this program that is a visual program, like a film, if you would, okay, that this person watches. So, you know, when you always see those political re-education camps and all that kind of jazz, like in Red Dawn, for example, in if you're in the movie Red Dawn, in Red Dawn they have this political re-education camp, and that was made in the 80s when they were still talking about MKUltra. So that political re-education camp was designed using military specifications for that film. A lot of people don't know that, but in that film, that the those political re-education camps were drawn up from what were considered to be of the day high-end military documents. So the political re-education camp, there's a drive-in there, and they're playing this film on the drive-in, and that this is what this booklets I have are talking about, is how those films are made and how to use them properly. Like, they're a programming sequence, if you would. It's kind of like but they're so big, it's not like it's a program, it's not like it's an hour long. This is for an extended duration. In order to run through the entire program, it could take anywhere from, you know, 20 to 40 days for a person to completely complete the entire program, because you can't focus on the program completely for more than, I think it's 4 hours is what they say, that they found subjects after 4 hours began to lose retention and things like that. Anyways, so this is what this thing's all about. And I'm looking at this going, wow, that's amazing, because they give quite clear instruction on how it all works. I've really got to scan this and put it on the web, because a document like this is it's amazing. Like, you can I suppose you could probably, I don't know what I could do with this. I mean, I guess I could you learn skills and stuff as well. It's not just like, you got to understand that what the success at the end of the book here, what they talk about, what this does is, when you're done and you've actually done this re-education, you're not a zombie. Like, you think you'd be a zombie, but you're not. You've been reprogrammed. You know what I mean? It's like, imagine you were a computer and you were running Windows, okay? And you became self-aware as a computer running Windows on some level. Now, you hear there's another method of operating, and it's called Linux. Okay, and you want to switch over to that other operating system, but all the other Windows systems are going, no, don't go to Linux, don't go to Linux, it'll be really, really bad, don't do that, and they harp on it, and there's this weird subversive alternative movement that appears in society that is really degraded and downtrodden and feared and labeled terrorism and stuff like that, and this is what becomes known as, like, these Linux people who start to show up. And these Linux people, you know, they have a culture and a world and a universe all to themselves, you see, and the Windows, eventually certain, you know, PCs decide, well, you know what, I've worked in this Windows operating environment and I hate it here. Everything's crashing. I'm smothered with advertising. I don't know what's going to happen next. You know, I'm fed new shit every year. It's garbage. I don't know what to do with my life. So what do? Is just as people would, you know, go and get born again in our society, these PCs would go and, you know, take up, would remove their operating system and install Linux, okay? And then you're running on this new operating system, which is totally unlike anything you know. So this is kind of where, now, I know that's kind of hard, but that's the only way I can describe it, because I'm condensing that. What I just explained there is a, I guess, a metaphor for about 150 pages of text. So that's sort of what the gist of it is that it's not just how to make a movie, it's how to make a program that programs people. I don't know enough about computers to know what that's called, but what do you call a program that makes dynamic programs that are configured to hardware on the fly? What do you call that? If someone could email me with that, that'd be great. Very, very interesting stuff. I think I'm going to have to look more into that. I guess that's probably it. I should probably sign off for now. My name is Sean Kennedy, and I'll talk to you again. Nice.